Yeah. Welcome to the Compass Podcast, featuring Chris Shandro and the Compass team. We hope this message is just for you.
Okay, so everybody, wow, there we go. Hey, everyone, do me a favor, pull out your welcome packet that you got. Inside that welcome packet is a sheet, a little card, an insert that says Access 100 on it. Pull that out. Let me explain what that is. So if you missed our message last week we rolled out a big new vision campaign that we are going to do as a church called Access 100. And here's what I'm not going to do today. I'm not going to tell you anything about it. You just got to figure it out by doing this. By finding a dessert night on that card and signing up to say, I want to show up to hear more about Access 100. So here's what we're doing. Every night this week, except for Thursday, we are going to meet at our new ministry center at 716 East Empire. And we want to invite you to come and hear about the Access 100 campaign. So maybe you were here last week and you still have some questions you want to ask, or you just would like to talk to me and Terry or some of our staff about what we're doing and maybe give some input. This is your opportunity to do that. Maybe you missed last week and you are not totally up to speed on what we're doing as a campaign. We're going to talk about it a little bit today, but this is a perfect opportunity for you to get totally versed on exactly what we're doing and how you can be a part of it. So here's the deal. If you have missed any of the campaign stuff that we have done so far, and you are not totally sure exactly what we're doing, I would love for you to take that sheet and pick a night. Just say, I want to come on Tuesday night. Every night is from 6:30 to 7:30. We're not going to keep it super long. There's going to be dessert. Who doesn't like dessert? Yeah. Liars don't like dessert. So that's going to be there. Terry and I are going to be there. Who doesn't like Terry? Babe, you're more popular than dessert. I don't even know if my kids would cheer that much. So, which is awful on my kids. So, man, sign up on that deal. And here's the deal. By checking that date, doesn't mean you're committing to anything. It just means this, is that you're letting us know when you're going to be there so we can plan to how much dessert we want to have there. And you know what? If you want like multiple desserts, hey, just put a note on there. I'll get you two. I'll get you three. I'll get you as many desserts as you want, because I also am a dessert fanatic. So fill that out, and then when the offering bucket comes by at the end of service, just drop that in. We'll shoot you an email as a reminder, but then every week, or every day this week, except for Thursday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday, we are going to be at the Ministry Center just having one of these desserts. So a couple things. If you don't sign up on your card today because you're not sure, you can just show up. Or you can go to our website at compassbn.com, click the Access 100 link, and you can sign up for a dessert online there. Or you can go to our Access 100 page at access100.net, and you can scroll down to the dessert link, and you can sign up there. Bottom line is this, we want you to be part of our campaign, and we want you to know what you're being part of. So we would love for you to hit one of those desserts. Now, there are times in our lives where we have big decisions that we need to make. Like there's times that just come naturally that where you have two choices or three choices or multiple choices and you have to make a big decision, and it feels like literally it is life or death. It feels like if you get this decision wrong, you are going to be homeless in the street, you know, eating Campbell's chunky beef soup out of a can that you cooked over a campfire. That's what it feels like when these decisions hit us in life. And sometimes they have a lot of options. You know, for example, when you graduate high school, there's that decision you got to make. Am I going to get a job? Am I going to, you know, run off and join the circus or a rock band? Am I going to go to college? And it's like, if I'm going to go to college, which college am I going to go to? Because, you know, seriously, if I don't go to the right college, the entire trajectory of my life could be completely shot. Then if you go to college, there's the decision of what major am I going to pick? Am I going to be a communications major or a psychology major? Because both of those are so valuable as degrees. You know, do I get a music major? Do I get a business major? What do I do? Because, oh my gosh, no one's going to hire me if I have a music major, but what if I want to be a music teacher? And all of these things kind of crush in on you when it's time to make those big decisions. Another one is like, who am I going to date? And who am I going to marry? Now, to be honest, some of us that we don't have as many options when it comes to that, you know. Some of us, someone takes pity on us and they're that one person and they kind of make that option easy for us. But there's others of us who like who you're going to date and who you're going to marry. I mean, there's a big pool of people that you have to choose from, you know. You got your options, Chad. We like them tall, dumb, and cute. You're not dumb, Chad. Guys, on the video, that's just a persona. Chad is actually very, very intelligent. Another one is, what do I name my kid? When you have kids, that is a big one. What do you name your children? Because if you name your kid the wrong name, you better look out, right? Because based on what you name your child, they could either be the president of the United States or they could be a serial killer. All based on the name. And so when we pick names for our kids, you think through, okay, how are kids going to make fun of their name if I name them this name? So it's like, okay, I'm sure my parents are like, okay, what about Chris or Christopher? You know, well, they might call him, you know, Chrissy or Kissy Chrissy, and I don't know, but maybe that's a good thing. You know, maybe in high school, the ladies are going to like calling him Kissy Chrissy. Okay, we're going to do that. So they decided that was a great name for him, but you always got to, what do we name our children? And what, it's a big decision. How is it going to affect their lives? I had a decision moment in high school that is kind of interesting. In high school, we had an investment class. And in this investment class, what they did is they gave us a newspaper and they said, we want you to pick companies that you are going to invest in and we're going to give you $5,000 of play money. And you are going to take this $5,000 and you're going to invest it any way that you want. And then at the end, we'll see how much money you have or how much money you don't have based on the investments that you made. Now, I'm a very competitive person, and so I wanted to win the stock market. So I went through the news, and again, this is pre-internet, okay, when I'm in high school. So literally, we're waiting for the newspaper every day to flip through it and look for, like, the little symbol. And so I invested in stocks so that I could make a ton of money, but I really didn't know what I was doing. And when it came to making the decision, I was really stressed because I want the best investment. I want the company that's going to give me the biggest yield and the biggest reward. Or is there a company that I need to go all in on? Right? And maybe there's just one company that I know if I put everything into this, all my eggs into this basket, that I will just be rich by the end of it. And I'm trying to decide and process all of these things. It was such a big decision for me. Now, as you know, as any high school kid would do, you know, not knowing what I was doing, I just picked like DC Comics and like Fender Guitars and, you know, whatever company makes Twinkies because I like Twinkies. You know, I just picked things that I liked and I'll be honest, I didn't do well. But we often face those decision times in our lives where there's multiple options. We also face those decision times where it feels like we need to go all in on one thing. And sometimes it's tough for us to decide, what is that thing? What is the thing that we need to push all our chips in and go all in on? And the fact of the matter is that right now, as a church, we're at one of those decision points. Right now, as Compass Church, we are at one of those big all in decision moments in our life as a church. Now, a couple weeks ago, we started our Access 100 message series, and we talked about our big, burning core vision. The reason that we exist as a church, the reason that God placed us here in Bloomington Normal, our heartbeat, and it's this, it's that we want to be a church that's all about making God accessible to everyone. We want to give people who don't have access, or people who don't think they have access to God. That is what we are all about. And so if you are part of Compass and you are all in on Compass, you know, when someone asks you, man, what? Tell me about Compass. What's it like? Well, it's pretty much all about making God accessible to everyone. Oh, that's nice. Well, what do you guys do? Well, we make God accessible to everyone. Oh, that's cool. I mean, I hear that you guys have donuts and coffee. What kind of donuts do you have? The kind that make God accessible to everyone. Okay. What kind of cereal do you eat? Oh, I love the crunchy cereal that makes God accessible to everyone. That is our heart. That's our vision. That is what we are all about as a church. Creating access points where people can come into right relationship with God and they can experience him and he can transform and change their lives. That's everything for us. And then last week we talked about our Access 100 campaign, which essentially is this. We have our burning hot vision. It's the thing for us as a church. And last week we talked about our plan to go all in on making this vision a reality. And we as a church have set a financial goal. We want to raise $100,000 in 2016 to fund the mission that God has set out for his church. Now, there's several things that we want to do with that money. I mean, we're going to do things like save up for a down payment on a permanent building. You know, we talked about this. You may not know this, but we pay $1,000 a week to rent the movie theater, which is a lot. I mean, it's this close to a mortgage. But again, as a brand new church, you know, when a bank looks at us and sees what we have in the bank and savings, and they even look at our financial track record, as young as we are, a bank wants to see a lot of things in order to loan us money to get a building. And we want a building because a building is a big, giant access point for people to come to know God. And so we want to save money for a building. We want to be able to bring staff on full time. I mean, you saw the video for our Alive services about what Kevin and Jane are doing there, and they're moving to Wednesday nights so that they can create more access points for our students to come to know God. And we know as a church that if we can invest in full-time staff, people who can dedicate all of their time and energy into leading ministry and into guiding people to Christ, that we could have a way bigger impact. But the reality is right now I'm the only full-time staff member at Compass. And you know, we talked about this last week, if you weren't here, if you knew what we paid our part-time staff people, I mean, literally, it's like a bag of peanuts and a high five, you know, thanks for all that you do. So we want to be able to bring staff on full-time. We want to drastically increase our outreach efforts. We want to have a massive summer blast, a vacation Bible school that's like no other vacation Bible school that's ever been done in our community so that we can connect with kids who don't know God. We have a goal. We want to have 100 brand new kids that come in. So we want to drastically improve our ability to outreach. We want to improve our ability to disciple people within Compass. So we want to give people who are outside of Compass access to God, but we also want to do a better job of giving people who are inside Compass access to God as well so they can grow and find next steps in their relationship with Him and learning to follow Him in the best way that we can. And so our campaign of raising $100,000 is all about funding that vision. Now, what's interesting about it is it's different than, you know, other capital campaigns that maybe other churches have done or maybe you've been part of in other churches. Because most of those are all about one thing. You know, we're buying this building, or we're buying this vehicle, or we're buying this plot of land, and we need to raise X amount of dollars to do this thing. We're not funding an item. We're not fighting one specific piece of property, something that we can own. We're funding a mission. Funding a vision, we're funding a movement. And that's what we want to see happen in our community and in our church, is just this ongoing movement of people finding access to God. And so thinking about that, our vision to make God accessible to everyone and this campaign that we've set up, there's this question that I asked it of myself, and I'm sure that there are people in this room who are asking it, and I just kind of wanted to bring it up and answer it. Because there's a lot of things that we could invest ourselves in. There's a lot of things in this world that we could invest our money in. There's a lot of, you know, great nonprofits. There's a lot of great charities. I mean, there's a lot of good things that we can invest into our families. A lot of things that we could do with our time, with our talent, and with our treasure. And so today, I mean, if we're talking about raising $100,000 for Compass Church, I think we probably ought to ask the question is, why the church? I mean, why the church? If we're going to live open-handed, I mean, we know that Jesus has asked us to do that. If we're going to live open-handed anyway, and we could give to anything that we wanted to, anything that makes a difference in our world, why the church? And why Compass Church? And so let's answer that. Let's take a look at this. Let's see what Jesus has to say about the church. Now, there's this moment in Jesus' ministry where he's walking with his disciples, and he asks them this question. He says, "Who do people say that I am?" Because, I mean, there have been thousands of people following Jesus. They love his teachings. They wanted to hear what he had to say. He was doing miracles. And there's all sorts of Old Testament prophecies that swirl around, and people are ascribing them to Jesus, or maybe he's this, maybe he's that. Maybe Jesus is the Messiah. Maybe Jesus is the reincarnation of this of Elijah or Jeremiah or of these Old Testament prophets. Maybe Jesus is actually John the Baptist, you know, and he just kind of changed clothes and, you know, put on a different beard. Maybe that's who Jesus is. And this is what people are saying about who Jesus is. And Jesus, just trying to get the pulse on what people are saying, asks the question, and his disciples tell him, "Oh, they say you this, say you that, they say you the other thing." And then Jesus stops after they say what people are saying about him, and he says, "Okay, who do you say that I am? Who do you think that I am?" Matthew 16, 15, it starts this way. This is Jesus. He says, "Then he asked them, 'But who do you say I am?'" He asked that question. And Simon Peter, one of the closest disciples to Jesus, answered. He said, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "You are blessed, Simon, son of John, because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you." So Simon, he says, "Jesus, all these other people are saying that you're a political leader who's going to come and set Israel free. Some people are saying that you're the reincarnation of all these Old Testament prophets come to lead people back to God. Some people are saying that you are John the Baptist," but he's like, "I believe this. You are the Son of God. You are the Messiah. You're the one that God sent to rescue his people." And Jesus says this. He says, "Peter, you didn't just make that up on your own. You didn't just figure that out. God revealed that to you." And then Jesus goes on to say this. He says, He says, now I say to you that you are Peter, which means rock. So he kind of changes his name. He says, we're going to stop calling you Simon. We're going to start calling you Peter, which means rock. And then Jesus says this, and upon this rock, I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it. Okay, this verse is interesting. This is the first time in all of the Bible that the church is mentioned. The first time the word is ever uttered, the first time the idea of the church is ever even mentioned at all, and it comes from Jesus. And what's cool about this is Jesus, here's what Peter says about who Jesus is. You are the Son of God. You are the Messiah. You are the one that God sent to make mankind right with him. And Jesus says, that's it. That's right. What you just said is true. And then Jesus says this, here's my plan. Based on what you said, I want to tell you my plan. My plan is this. My plan is to build my church on what you just said. The confession that Jesus is the Son of God. The belief, the faith that Jesus is who he said he was, that he is the Messiah, that he is the one, the mediator between us and God. And Jesus says this, Peter, what you just said is so important. He said, that confession that I am the Son of God is the thing that I am going to build my church on. So there's a couple things that you can get out of this. One is that it's obvious the confession of Jesus is the core of who we are as a church and what the church is all about. Jesus is the center of it. Jesus is the Son of God. Who he is and what you do with him will always be the center of the church, of our church. But Jesus says this, I'm going to build something. He said, you believe this, you've confessed this, but on top of that, I want to do something more. I'm going to build something. I'm going to build my church. It's kind of the what. This is why Jesus is saying, the church is God's design. The church is something that Jesus planned, he intended. And man, get this. The church is God's plan to push back the influence of sin and evil in our world. That's it. That's God's plan. If you could stand before God and ask him one question and say, God, how do we just fight all of this yuck in our world? How do we come against it? How do we fight it? What can we do? God's going to say, my church. It's his plan. It's the function for it. If you say, God, how are we going to restore broken relationship between people and broken relationship between mankind and you? How do we do that? God's going to say, well, my church. God, how do we repair a broken world? How do we take a world that's just crushed and devastated and broken by sin? God's going to say this. He's going to say, my church. And it's built on the foundation that Jesus is the Son of God. But the church is God's plan A. And there's no plan B, guys. The church was God's everything. God pushed all his chips into the church. And Jesus said to himself, I'm going to build this thing, and I'm pushing everything all in. There's no other mechanism to save the world except for this. There's no plan B. And Peter, who hears this, you know, again, like when Jesus has this conversation with Peter, this is early in Peter's time with Jesus, right? So Peter's kind of just following Jesus. He's figuring things out. This moment where he confesses that Jesus is the Son of God is a huge moment for Peter. It's a gigantic spiritual moment that happens in his life. And Jesus says this thing about, I'm going to build my church on what you just said. It's going to happen. You watch. And Peter had been invited to be part of that after Jesus died and he rose from the dead and he ascended into heaven. Peter became one of the core people who was responsible to start this church that Jesus had always planned. And Peter, as a church leader, he wrote several letters to the church at large to kind of give them instruction and guidance. And Peter elaborates on what Jesus says about the church that he's going to build. Peter, the guy who Jesus said, on your confession, I'm going to build my church. Peter, in his letter to churches, decades after this conversation happened, Peter elaborates on what the church is, what it looks like, and why God is gathering us, building us, and bonding us together into his church. Peter has some things to say about this. And he says this in 1 Peter 2, 4 through 5. Starts this way. He says, you are coming to Christ, who is the living cornerstone of God's temple. So he starts right out of the gate this way. He says, you are people who are being drawn to relationship with Jesus. You are people who believe the confession that Jesus is the Son of God, and you are people who would make that same confession. So the very thing that Jesus said he's going to build his church on, Peter's saying, this is you. Okay, this is who he's talking to. He's talking to people who believe that Jesus is the Son of God, followers of Jesus. He continues, Jesus was rejected by people, but he was chosen by God for great honor. And then he says this, he says, and you are living stones that God is building into his spiritual temple. You are living stones that God is building into his spiritual temple. Do you know what concrete is made of? This is kind of interesting. Concrete is made up of a couple different parts. It's got this kind of concrete paste that kind of goes in and sticks everything together. But concrete on the whole, for the most part, is made up of something called aggregate. An aggregate is basically crushed up rocks, stone, and gravel. That's what concrete is. It's crushed up rocks, finely ground into, I mean, some concrete is bigger pieces than others. Some concrete is very fine, but at the end of the day, concrete, what I'm standing on the floor right now, is just made up of a bunch of little teeny tiny rocks of gravel. And what they do is they gather all this gravel into big, huge piles. They crush it. They grind it down. They mix it up into a paste, and they put it, you've seen the trucks, right, where they grind it up, and they pull the thing down, and they pour it into potholes so you aren't driving over potholes anymore. And that's what concrete is made of. But what's so amazing about concrete is this. It's just rocks. But when it's all poured together, when it's all mixed up, when it's all bonded, concrete becomes incredibly strong. And concrete, these broken up little rocks, is literally the foundation of all of our structures. Our tallest skyscrapers are built on foundations and have floors throughout from top to bottom of concrete made up of little teeny tiny crushed rocks. Our streets and sidewalks are made up of little teeny tiny crushed rocks that, you know, the foundation of your house, literally what we're walking on in this theater, is made up of tiny, crushed little rocks, hundreds, thousands, and millions of tiny individual rocks, little stones. And that's what the church is. That's exactly what Peter is saying that the church is. We are a composition of little, tiny individual stones, little rocks that somehow are brought together, are mixed up, are bonded together by the confession that Jesus is who he said he was, that Jesus is Lord, mixed up into a paste. And then here's what God does with us. Check this out. It says this, that he is building us into his spiritual temple. So we're brought together, we're bonded together, we're mixed up, and then we're poured into something stronger and bigger than we would ever be on our own. And that's the church. That's God's plan for the church. That's what it is. Check this out too. If God is binding us, bonding us, connecting us together into his church, why? What's his purpose behind that? Peter continues in 1 Peter 2, 5 and 9. He says, what's more, in addition to everything I just said, in addition to you being little stones that are being bonded together to build this spiritual house that God is trying to make, in addition to that, you are his holy priests. You are royal priests, a holy nation, God's own possession. Okay, so this is a shift a little bit in what Peter's saying, because he starts off by saying, this is what you are a stone, right? So God gathered you, God connected you, and he's kind of brought you in so that you could be part of this thing. And then he shifts from being into doing. He says, you are priests. And he says, as a result of you being priests now, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of the darkness and into his wonderful light. When you were bonded, when you were brought into the church, when you were mixed up with other little stones bound together by the confession that Jesus is Lord, that Jesus is God, that Jesus is who he says he was, God built you into something bigger, and he made you into a church whose function is to show God's goodness to people who are on the outside. You might go so far as to say that our function as priests being built into this church would be to make God accessible to people who are outside of the church. And here's the thing, there's no other organization that can do this. When Jesus said, I'm going to build my church, He said, I'm going to create something that is going to be the venue by which I'm going to reveal who God is to the world. And there's no one else can do it. The Red Cross can't do it. Compassion International can't do it. All these organizations do great and amazing things. Many of them do things in the name of God, but they're not the church. The church is what God built to overcome. The church is what God built to save a lost world. It's the church that God created. There's no backup. There's no plan B. There's no one who can fulfill this purpose if we don't do it. God went all in when he made the church. He said, this is it, guys. I'm building you into it, and I'm sending you out as priests to go make my goodness and my love known to the lost and to the dying world. And here's the coolest part. Remember what Jesus said about the church in Matthew 16, 18, just at the very end. Jesus said this, I will build my church and all the powers of hell will not conquer it. This verse is exactly why the church is the best investment that you could ever make with your life, with your money, with your time, is because what God is creating cannot be defeated, it cannot be overcome, and the gates of hell can never break it down. The enemy of what we're trying to do in this world, the enemy of what Jesus wants to have happen in people's lives, can fight and push back and do all sorts of things to stop the momentum that God wants to have happen in his church. But the powers of hell cannot conquer and overcome what God wants to do. That is why the church is the best investment that you could ever make with your life, with your time, and with your money. It's the best investment that you could make because it's God's only plan to reach the lost and dying world. That's it. So when you're thinking about what do I put into, if you want to do that, the church is it. And it's the safest investment that you can make because the gates of hell, the powers of hell can't conquer it. No matter what fights it, no matter what comes against the church, no matter what comes against us, no matter how small and weak we may seem, there is nothing that can stop what God wants to do in us as we march forward and we take step after step to advance his kingdom because we are the church and the powers of hell cannot overcome us. And when we are fully bound together, and when we are fully behind and standing on the confession that Jesus is Lord, when that becomes everything to us, when that becomes the foundation of who we are and what our church stands on, then look out because this church is going to do amazing things in our community and we are going to see lives changed. We are going to see lives transformed. We are going to see a community and a world saved because nothing can stop us. Because the powers of hell, the gates of hell can't overcome what God wants to do through his church. Nothing can. It can't be defeated. It can't be broken. It can't be bent. An investment into the church, an investment into the kingdom of God is an investment into the very promise of Jesus himself that as long as we are small stones being built into the bigger whole of what God wants to create into his spiritual building, into his spiritual home. And as long as we stand on the foundation that Jesus is the Lord, that Jesus is the Son of God, that Jesus is who he said he is, the hell that our church was created to overcome, it doesn't have a prayer. But it's only when we, the small stones, can stick together. It's only when we, the small stones, can be committed to the purpose. It's only when we, the small stones, live as the church. So the question today is, how much of your life are you willing to invest in Jesus's church? How much of your life, how much of your resources, how much of your energy and your talent are you willing to invest in the one thing that God created to reach and to save a lost and dying world? No one in this room could give, I mean, you guys could, literally everyone in this room could give nothing to this Access 100 campaign, right? So let's just assume that like everyone here was like, Chris, I'm not sure about this. I don't want to give a dime. You know why I wouldn't worry? Because I know the gates of hell can't overcome God's church. And I know that God is going to provide what he wants us to have in the way that he wants us to have it. But we're not just a collection of individual stones looking out for each other. We're not just a collection of individual rocks just trying to make it through life. We are bound and bonded together by the fact that Jesus is our Savior, that Jesus is the center of our lives, that Jesus has transformed me and set me free, that because of what Jesus did in the church, he literally saved my life. I was spared from living a life of making horrible choices that devastated my relationships. I was spared from addictions and habits that could have just devastated me. And you know what? Some of you weren't spared from that because some of you didn't have the church to stand in front of the gates of hell in your life. And we have the opportunity to push back the hell that's in the lives of people in our community who don't know Jesus. We have the opportunity to push back hell in the life of an elementary school child who's never been to church before a day in his life. His parents are alcoholics. He takes care of himself. He gets food at school to bring home to eat at dinner. We have the opportunity to push back hell in his life. We have the opportunity to push back hell in the life of someone who works at State Farm and their marriage is on the rocks. Maybe someone's husband had an affair. She's broken and she's hurting and she doesn't know what to do and she can't find hope and she can't find peace. We can push back hell in her life because we are the church when we stand together. And that's what Access 100 is all about. That's what this campaign is all about. And that's why we invest in the church. That's why Terry and I write big checks to Compass. It's why it's our first check when my paycheck comes. It's why it's the first thing we invest in. It's why it's the biggest thing that we invest in apart from our house. And man, God provide. I would love to invest more than I pay for my house someday. I don't want to live in a tiny house though, just for the record. There's no better thing to invest in with your life, with your money, with your time and your talent than God's church because it's his plan A and there's no plan B. Heavenly Father, I thank you for what you're doing in us and what you're speaking to us. And God, it's challenging, but it's also encouraging, God. I'm encouraged remembering that you built me into something bigger than myself. I'm encouraged by remembering the fact that I am just a small stone that you built in to your bigger spiritual home. And that God, that I have reaped the benefits of being close to you. I've reaped the benefits of being part of a church community that has pushed back hell in my life. And Lord, there's so many people in this room who can say the same thing. But I pray, Jesus, that you would make us priests as well, that we would not be content to just be built into you and to be built into your home, but that we would get the passion and the burden and understand that our function is to go and show your goodness to people who are outside of our church, to show your goodness to a world that doesn't know you, to give them access to the God who they have no access to. God, I pray that you would challenge us, that you would push us, God, and that you would give us boldness and faith to do just that. With everybody's heads bowed and eyes closed, you know, you may be in this room and you may not have a relationship with Jesus. And, you know, we talked about a lot of different things today. We've talked about the church. We've talked about fundraising money and all of this stuff. And maybe it's a lot of that stuff is over your head. And yet, as you sit in this room, something is resonating in your heart. As we've talked about this confession that Jesus is who he says he is, being the foundation of a totally new and different life, being the foundation of something bigger and better than you could ever live on your own. And you don't have it, but you want it. And today I want to tell you, Jesus is accessible to you right now here in this place. And so I don't want to embarrass you. No one's looking, but here's the thing. If you are ready to say, I want to explore this thing and I want to ask Jesus to come into my life and to give me that hope, to show me the goodness of God. I want Jesus to move in me and I want to just accept him. If that's you and you're in this place, no one's looking, just really quickly, just slip your hand up right now so I can pray for you. Thank you, thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Father, I pray with those who've raised their hand. God, we pray this together. We thank you, Jesus, for who you are. We thank you, Jesus, that you died for our sin so that we could be close to God. We thank you that you literally gave yourself to save us, to save me. And this morning, Jesus, I accept this gift that you're giving me, a free relationship with you. I ask that you would forgive me of my sin, that you would forgive me of all the things that I've done wrong, all the things that I can't manage on my own. And I'm trusting you by giving you those things, by asking you to take them from me, that you will, and that you will move in my life. And Jesus, I ask and I pray for every person who's lifted their hand that right now in this moment, that you would set them free. You are building them as a small stone into something bigger, something greater, something stronger than they've ever had. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would confirm in their hearts that you are for them, that you love them, and that this church is with them. Thank you, Lord. We pray all of this in your holy name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us at Compass. We hope you enjoyed this podcast. If you have any questions about Compass or this message, contact us at our website, www.compassbn.com.